cause the enemy to avoid you. Make him angry and confuse his plans. Pretend to be inferior and cause him to despise you. If he have superabundance of strength, tire him out. If united, make divisions in his camp. Attack weak points and appear in unexpected places. These are the secrets of the successful strategist. Therefore, they must not be made known beforehand. At the reckoning in the sanctuary before fighting, victory is to the side that excels in the foregoing matters. They that have many of these will conquer. They that have few will not conquer. Hopeless, indeed, are they that have none. If the condition of both sides with regard to these matters be known, I can foretell the victor. 2. Operations of War. Sun, the master, said, "Now the requirements of war are such that we need 1,000 light chariots with 4 horses each, 1,000 leather-covered chariots, and 100,000 armored men. And we must send supplies to distant fields. Wherefore the cost at home and in the field, the entertainment of guests, glue and lacquer for repairs, and necessities for the upkeep of wagons and armor, are such that in one day 1,000 pieces of gold are spent. With that amount, a force of 100,000 men can be raised. You have the instruments of victory. But even if victorious, let the operations long continue, and the soldiers' ardor decreases, the weapons become worn, and if a siege be undertaken, strength disappears. Again, if the war lasts long, the country's means do not suffice. Then, when the soldiers are worn out, weapons blunted, strength gone, and funds spent, neighboring princes arise and attack that weakened country. At such a time, the wisest man cannot mend the matter. For while quick accomplishment has been known to give the victory to the unskillful, the skillful general has never gained advantage from lengthy operations. In fact, there never has been a country which has benefited from a prolonged war. He who does not know the evils of war will not reap advantage thereby. He who is skillful in war does not make a second levy, does not load his supply wagons thrice. War materials and arms we obtain from home, but food sufficient for the army's needs can be taken from the enemy. The cost of supplying the army in distant fields is the chief drain on the resources of a state. If the war be distant, the citizens are impoverished. In the neighborhood of an army, prices are high, and so the money of the soldiers and followers is used up. Likewise, the state funds are exhausted, and frequent levies must be made. The strength of the army is dissipated, money is spent, and the citizen's home swept bare. In all, 7/10 of his income is forfeited. Again, as regards state property, chariots are broken, horses worn out, armor and helmet, arrow and bow, spear, shield, pike, and fighting tower, wagon, and oxen used and gone, so that 6/10 of the government's income is spent. Therefore, the intelligent general strives to feed on the enemy. One bale of the enemy's rice counts as 20 from our own wagons. One bundle of the enemy's forage is better than 20 of our own. Incitement must be given to vanquish the enemy. They who take advantage of the enemy should be rewarded. They who are the first to lay their hands on more than 10 of the enemy's chariots should be rewarded. The enemy's standard on the chariots exchanged for our own, the captured chariots mixed with our own chariots and taken into use. The accompanying warriors must be treated well, so that, while the enemy is beaten, our side increases in strength. Now the object of war is victory, not lengthy operations, even skillfully conducted. The good general is the lord of the people's lives, the guardian of the country's welfare. 3. The attack by stratagem. Sun, the master, said,